Last week we were talking about the tongue, and I took you to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, if any of you remember. And the reason I did that was because, and I'm not going to lay that foundation again, but Isaiah was caught up in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah was caught up into the Lord. He was in the temple, and God took him up and showed him his glory. And as he's before the Lord, he makes the statement, gosh, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And of all things for him to speak of, it deals with his mouth. And even the father sends one of the seraphim to the altar to grab a coal and then come and touch his lips to sanctify his lips, which means that what comes out of our mouth is very important. And one passage says it like this in James chapter 3, verse 5, and I'm going to give you quite a few scriptures over the next 18 minutes, and you can write them down and go over them later. I'm not giving this to you in a bad sense of saying, you know, your mouth is bad and things like that, but I want to highlight what the Word of God has to say about the tongue, about the mouth, about the speech, the words that we release, because they can impact our lives and impact the lives of others, and they can either expedite or hinder the process of God working with us in accomplishing things that he wants to accomplish, as well as the things that we want him to accomplish on our behalf. And as I've been sharing, we don't want to just focus in on ourselves. We want to see the big picture from the purpose and plan of God, because he's got more in store than what we have or what we can even think about. You think about what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, and God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. You know, it's like when you think about that, what do you think about? You think it's just, you know, a bunch of fairy tale, something just, you know, like blind faith, or it'll never happen? Or do you think that he's conveying how great our God is and what our God is willing to do? This book is all about truth. Hallelujah. And it comes to a heart, a new heart that only believes God and not one that would question or debate. I know we're taught in society to question things, you know, always question, always question, always question. Well, when it comes to the Word of God, always listen, always obey. Amen? You know, it's just that simple. James says this in James chapter 3, verse 5. You can go there if you want to, because I'm reading from the Message Bible, and the Message Bible can mess you up sometimes because it makes it so clear. And then sometimes you have to always reference King James Version, because I believe that's one of the most anointed translations of the Bible that we have today. I like the Amplified. I like the New Living Translation. You know, I like other versions, but King James is the one that, you know, I just hold dear to, and everything else, you know, has to, you know, balance itself with what King James says before I just take it to run with it, especially with the new translations that they're coming with now in this day and time, because they're trying to change things. But it says this: a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. Now, in the King James, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And so we really want to just start giving attention to what the Word of God has to say about the tongue. In the book of Proverbs, and we'll get there, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we can speak life or we can speak death to a situation, whether it's concerning ourselves or whether it's concerning others. And we have to make the decision on what it is we want to release, first of all, to ourselves as well as to others. And if we want to release life, then we're going to really be careful about what we say. If we don't care about what we say, we'll just say whatever comes to mind. And there are many people who speak that way. But James also said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. And so we want to listen carefully and then speak. We want to be careful about how we do speak. James also says, praise God. He says the tongue is like a fire, which means it will consume stuff. And in chapter 3, verse 7, I'll read it to you from this translation, verses 7 through 10, Message Bible again. It says, this is scary. Y'all listening to me? Now, what the individual that translated the Message Bible did was he was a pastor, and just from what I read about him in his translation, he saw that people were losing interest in the study of God's word, and they were growing dull at hearing, even as the writer in Hebrews says, that they weren't paying attention to the messages that were coming forth, and they had no interest in reading God's word. And so he took it upon himself, being a Greek and Hebrew scholar, took it upon himself to do a translation in everyday language in order to break things down so that people can read it and that it would capture their interest, because some don't think that the scriptures are relative to today. And so putting it in today's terminology, I would look at it as like kind of like fast forwarding, you know, today's language, but yet taking it back to the meaning of what it meant back there in that day, and that the same meaning goes on for us today too. So in verse 7 it says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of those things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. And this individual starts off by saying, this is scary. I want that to settle in. He says, you can tame a tiger. Anybody been to SeaWorld? What's some of the other places? Used to call it Marine World, but Discovery Kingdom. What did you say? Six Flags Zoo, San Francisco Zoo, Oakland Zoo. And you've seen, anybody been to a circus? You've seen how well they can train animals. I mean, they can make animals jump through hoops, jump through fire. They can make them roll over, you know, stand on their hind feet, feed them. Some individual was showing, and who was that? Oh, was it Jacob? Jacob was showing us this video of this individual who like lives out there in Africa somewhere with the animals. He just goes out there into the fields and he calls the animals and they come to him. And the big lion comes up and can I get a helper? You know, I'm the lion. He's just say, you know, Simba or something like that. Anytime. They understand him. I don't understand silence. Simba or something. Oh, okay. Well, he talked. I think he talked. Because they recognize his voice. He recognized his voice. So I recognize your voice. So you got to do something. Come on. You know, I'm going to look at you like this. You human. Human don't. Come on. Come That's the best we could do. All right. So anyways, it's like the lion, you know, out there in the fields and bushes everywhere, and, you know, and he's calling, and then, you know, it's kind of like out of the blue, here comes a lion. You know, they come out, you know, and they're happy. Because they know it's him calling. And they come out and they just jump all on him and just do all of this and stuff. And I'm like, man, he's crazy. But just loving all on him, wrestling with him. You know, you almost wonder if it's real, if they, you know, did some Photoshop stuff with it. But he's, you know, he's just out there having fun. And it ain't just one. It's several of them. And none of them are trying to bite his head off. You can be seated. Thank you. It's all right. None of them try and bite his head off. And he's out there in the wild. So it's not like the circus where, you know, he's brought them together with a whip and stuff. And I don't know how he got to know these animals, but he can just call them and they will come. They'll come like a dog. Cat will run in the other direction, but a dog will come, you know, jump and want to play with you. And they did that kind of stuff with them. But you can tame a wild animal. Now, how many of you are going to get in a cage or, you know, go out in the field and say, come here, Simba? Nobody in their right mind. Why? Because we fear them. They're big and they're powerful and they're, you know, they be thinking dinner. What if it's a puppy, a cub? Well, he might have done that. I don't know. I don't know. But even if it's a cub, it's like that cub gonna get big. You know. Yes. Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's like amen. Jesus. Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. They stayed in the car. They stayed in the cage. But he's out there playing with them. And so, you know, there are those that can do that kind of stuff, and then you have those that can professionally train animals. And we've seen it. I mean, you see the dolphins? I used to love to see the dolphins. I used to love Yaka and Vika. Now, some of y'all probably don't remember Yaka and Vika. They were killer whales. Used to be at Marine World, Africa, USA. Yaka and Vika. I got splashed by Yaka and Vika. Yeah. So, you know, they can train these massive, huge animals to do tricks and things like that. And James says, this is scary. We can tame a tiger, but we can't tame the tongue. Just look at your neighbor and say, give it up. James is not speaking by philosophy. He's not speaking after studying, you know, Aristotle or Socrates or Plato. He's speaking by divine revelation from God. Who's that? That individual? I don't know if I would call that a gift, but he had no fear of the animals. And like he said, because you see, in the beginning, we were created, we had dominion over everything. So he simply walked in that realm of dominion to where he wasn't afraid of the animals. You know, because God brought every animal to Adam. Adam, what's that? Lion. What's that? Tiger. What's that? Bear. Oh, my. Some of you catch up next week. Y'all slow tonight. Slow tonight. Okay. All right. But I'm making a point. I'm trying to drive on. The humor will just break down so I can drive in the word. He brought, you know, we had the dominion in the beginning. So, amen. He just operated in that level. I'm not there yet. But he says we can tame these wild animals, but we can't tame the tongue. King James defines it as an unruly member. And it's like, man, if we can't tame the tongue, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this thing? Because this thing can set a forest fire. You've seen it every year in the mountains, Southern California, near Yosemite, where these major fires begin off of a little spark or somebody being careless with a campfire or something like that, you know, or, you know, lightning may strike and whoosh, you know. And he says, you can't tame this. So how do we deal with the tongue if we can't tame it? It's like Isaiah. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I've been around a people of unclean lips. What he saw was the righteousness and the glory of God. And in comparison to where they were, to where God is, it's like he said later on in his book, our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. How could he say that? Because he saw the glory of God, and he saw how filthy he was in God's presence. And all of us are that way, but God cleanses us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He washes us, and he gives us his righteousness to bring us into right standing with him. And so it's like, if we can't tame this thing, then we got to do something, because it'll set off a forest fire. We may even mean well. It's like James says, with the tongue, I'm paraphrasing, we bless God, and rightly so, we ought to. And the next minute we curse man who's made in the image of God. It's easy to curse someone that has done you wrong. You know, you just, because they done you wrong. But sometimes a person haven't even done us wrong, and we can still release something over their lives that's not right. The Word of God is the only revealer of truth. And Jesus was like this. You know, you call murdering, you know, maybe hitting, beating someone and end their life. But Jesus is like, if you call your brother Raca, R-A-C-A, you've cursed him, and it's just like murder. We can use his tongue and slander and talk about someone, you know, and not think anything of it. It's an unruly member. Can't tame it. So do we just let it just do? No, we shut it down. What do you mean shut it down? You know how you can have a vicious dog, but you put a muzzle on that thing, and he can be as vicious as he wants to, but he can't say nothing. Say, put a lid on it. Put a lid on it. And only speak, like Paul said, only speak the things that are necessary for edification. If I put a lid on it, that means I'm not going to let it just, I'm not going to try and teach it. I'm not going to try and train it. I'm just going to control it. I'm going to ask the Lord, like the psalmist said, to set a watch over my lips, put a guard over my, help me to pay attention to what I say. It's not in the sense of just, you know, just bad mouthing, but this is about dealing with now and our future. And it's like, what kind of future do we want? What kind of present state and condition do we want? If death and life are in the power of the tongue, that means I have a choice in what I can release. And if I choose to release life, then that's what I'm going to speak out of my mouth. And every time I speak something that is deadly, destructive, that injures, that hurts, that wounds, let me be quick to repent for this unruly member. Not make an excuse for it, because an excuse, well, they did this and they shouldn't have did that to me, so they got what they deserve kind of thing. I gave them a piece of my mind. Piece of your mind, piece of your mouth, piece of your tongue, and all we do is dig ourselves a deeper hole to try and get out of. But we want to, especially in 2014, we want to start speaking life over our own lives, over our families, and over this work that God is doing. I don't mean flattery, because flattery won't get us anywhere. And that's what we have a lot of flattery. You know, just think of something good to say. It's good to do that, but when we're doing that in the name of the Lord, then let's make sure that that's something that God is saying and not just us trying to be, you know. But we have to get control of this tongue, because if we don't, it's going to be destructive. I said I was going to read a few scriptures. Just give me a couple of more minutes. James chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. He says, this is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless our God. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Cursings and blessings out of the same mouth. Peter says it like this, Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job. To bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Let me read that part again. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked. But he turns his back on those who do evil things. Listen to this. I was sharing with you about flattery. Psalms chapter 5, verse 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth, their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher or grave, and they flatter with their tongue. Flattery is good for no one, because a lot of times we're saying all of these good things and we really don't mean it. We're just saying it just for the sake of. But flattery, especially when it's, you know, not appropriate, that does no one any good. Psalms 12, verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Now, this is the word of God. This is not Pastor Killing's opinion. This is the word of God. The psalmist said, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." That's Psalms 34, verse 13. "And my tongue shall speak," here we go, "and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long." Psalms 35, verse 28. Shall I read it again? Amen. Thank you for that. Yes. "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long." That's how you control the tongue. See, this is God's word, which means this is truth. This is written by men that were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So it's not even their knowledge that they're revealing. It is God's knowledge. And how can I deal with this thing? Because it can kill or it can give life. It can bless or it can curse. It can wound or it can heal. And it's a matter of what is it that we want to do. If we want to wound, we'll just let it. It will naturally, because it can't be tamed. If we want to hurt, if we want to destroy, that it's like, that's not business, that's what I do. Does that make sense? I know it looks stupid, but that's what the tongue does, because you can't tame it. So the easy thing is to criticize. The easy thing is to talk bad. The easy thing is to tear down. Why? Because that's the nature of the tongue. But if I choose to control it, not tame it, because it can't be tamed. What do I mean by that? You can pray in tongues for an hour and go and cuss somebody out.
I did that this morning.
Not me. I'm just saying. Be in church, sing praises, and then go out there and just let somebody have it. Brrr. Why? You were caught up in the presence of God. And when you were praying in tongues, you were praying in tongues. But because you can't tame this thing, you can do godly things and then go right back out there and undo all of the godly things that you did because you can't tame it. So you have to control it in the sense of making it speak what God wants. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said this, and I'll end. Was that hallelujah because I'm going to end? You got to get used to me, praise God. That was just too good to pass up. It was just too good to pass up. You're like, he's humorous. Yeah. Well, you and I, we'll have everybody else be gone. I can't tell all my brethren, but QLM, I'm telling you, they're trying to keep you all night. It's like, he said it like this. Chapter. That's what happened. He says in verse 23 of Mark chapter 11, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever," that's anybody, it's not fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, it's not bishop, deacon, elder, if you will, it's whosoever in the kingdom, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, We believe he was standing before a physical mountain. Believe he was in Caesarea Philippi, and there was this huge mountain right before him as he was speaking. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith or says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And that will work both good and bad. And we get to choose on what it is that we want. If we want good, we got to speak it. If we want bad, just keep talking it, because this thing will, I'm telling you, it'll take you deep. It'll take you deep down into the mire of the dirt and everything else. It'll, because you can't train this thing. What do you mean you can't train this thing? You can't. As I said, you can pray in tongues for an hour, and then somebody do you wrong, and you just let them have it, and the tongue will release it. The psalmist speaks of it as poison of asp under their lips, like a viper, like a snake or something, injecting poison into its victim that kills and destroys. And we have to look at life and say, what do I want to do? We have to look at one another and say, what do I want for them? I want to see them go down, or do I want to see them go up? I've got the very words to help them go up or go down. Stand to your feet. I don't know how it got to that time, but Deacon Patton must have pushed a button or something. Sped it up. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your precious word. Thank you that it shall not return to you void, but must accomplish what you please and prosper in the thing for which you sent it. Psalms 45, verse 1 says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Father, that the words that we speak, they're recorded on the tablets of hearts, our own heart, and even the hearts of others. So may we be careful in how we speak. May our speech be seasoned with salt. May we speak life and not death, blessing and not curse, love and not hate, peace and not war. That you might be glorified. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. I bless your sons and daughters in this place. And I say the Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you. I hope you're receiving this as it's being spoken over your life. I hope you don't have a casual mindset and attitude, and that these words are just going into the air. May they just be recorded upon the tablets of your heart. May you receive these words with meekness and let them be instilled upon the tablets of your heart and marinate and, you know, minister to your mind. That you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that above all else you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you because you are blessed. You are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and ground of truth. You are the foundation and the mainstay, the prop and the support of all truth. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. No one on earth has the privilege that you have unless they are born again as you are. And that you might give God the highest praise. That you may love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love each and every one, your neighbor, as you love yourself. Father, take the coal from the altar and touch our lips, touch our mouths. Sanctify, circumcise, that we may speak life. We may speak truth. We may speak your word. And your word, Father, which cannot return to you void, will accomplish what you please and prosper in the thing for which you have sent it. Hallelujah! Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Glory. Glory, 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 hallelujah, glory, glory. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Even our battle against the enemy, we have to remember that Jesus won the victory. And he gave the victory to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I saying we don't fight? Yeah, we fight, but we fight the good fight of faith. That's what we fight. That's what we fight. Satan wants us to be wrapped up into a battle with him. Just tell him, I'll see you at Armageddon, devil. See you at Armageddon, because he's going to be doing his thing until that time. But, to God be the glory. Having the greatest time of my life in the kingdom. Hallelujah.